كيف نجي وشي شبت النجو في مرينا ابو ناشي الفاني انت جاز رول الناشي الفاني زجر لا 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 لا
See, you don't see that on an Andy Williams Christmas special. You know, or the Mormon Tabernacle Choir doesn't get up there in somewhere in Utah and in their robes and their gowns and with a big pipe organ that they have in the back that takes up a whole back wall. And then as the camera turns on them and they have the big tree and the beautiful, the whole sense of place and majesty that the Tabernacle has over there. And then the spotlight hits a little Bahamian man with three teeth in his head and half crocked, three quarters crocked on very, very fine homemade rum, just sitting there going, I think that would be so much better than what we are normally trained to expect now from the same 10 Christmas songs that we hear everywhere we go. Ladies and gentlemen, oh my God, I was in Forest Hills yesterday with my wife and my in-laws, and it was very nice, and we had a lovely meal, and we had fun, but if I tell you, we would go to Starbucks, we would go to the restaurant, we would go, because I was with two women, we would go, God help us, shopping in the Gap, and Eddie Bauer, and places like that, and every single one, it was the same songs. And it's irritating, and it's infuriating, and I've been saying this for years. I mean, for one thing, A, I'm not a Christian. Hello, my name's Dave Lefkowitz. This is Little Big Time. And with a name like Lefkowitz, you can kind of guess where I feel and on what side of the fence I am regarding Jesus, Joseph, and Mary, and all that, all those myths and stuff. And B, even if I were a Christian, I think if I heard the Christmas song, the chestnuts roasting, etc., and so forth, or any of them at this point, I would be out of my freaking gourd. I don't know why there aren't more Oklahoma Mall incidents. I will bet that the kid in the Oklahoma Mall, I mean, they say, okay, he was depressed, and he had school troubles, and he had issues, and he had a personality defect. I'll bet that he was in the store, in the mall, minding his own business, walking around, maybe getting a burger, something greasy to eat. Maybe he was looking for a pair of socks, you know, or some underwear. Or maybe there's a music store there. And he wandered into a store that played Frosty the Snowman one time too often. And he just grabbed his rifle and went, because I know I would. And it's just, I'm so happy. There's just one or two more days of all this to go. I mean, and the reason, of course, I'm complaining is now that Christmas, as I've said again and again on the radio, on my shows, that Christmas doesn't begin Christmas Eve, December 24th. It doesn't begin on Christmas Day, December 25th. It doesn't begin, let's say, the week before for shopping and ornamenting and decorating the house and doing and sending out the cards and everything. No. Christmas starts the day after Labor Day. We all know that. We all start seeing the Christmas stuff on QVC and HSN, and then the real commercials start right after Halloween. Used to be they wait until after Thanksgiving. No more. Now, it just accumulates, and it builds, and it builds. And I was saying earlier in the evening, on the Big Time show, that's the one that goes from 6 to 8 on Sunday nights, I was saying that I woke up this morning and it sounds like the beginning of a blues song. I woke up this morning and I put on my TV. I hated it so much that I could not see, so I turned it off. I should have turned it off. Because what they were talking about was they were dissecting the economics of how all the businesses fared and how Wall Street thinks businesses have fared over the holidays. It was another, I mean, in the guise of trying to say, oh, well, here's how this will affect the stock market, and here's how the merchants will do for the year if so-and-so, if these numbers are correct as far as what people bought and how much they spent and how many things they bought and blah, blah, blah. Well, of course, it was just another push. It all becomes just one more push to get people to go out and spend more and feel guilty if they're not getting gifts for everybody, to feel guilty if they're not really taking part in, quote-unquote, the Christmas season, the Christmas so-called spirit. I mean, I only remember what channel I was watching, but we all know the morning shows, the so-called news shows, for the past 3-4 weeks have been what? It's been all, well, these are the cool electronics that everybody will be looking for this year. You know, these are the new fashions. These will be the spring fashions that everybody will want. It's just absolutely ridiculous and unconscionable. I mean, you go back 50-odd years to someone like Stan Freberg, the satirist, the humorist, and also a former advertising man, so he knew whereof he spoke. And Freberg was doing these great satires of how insanely commercial that the holiday season has become. How everything's bled into each other. Christmas is Hanukkah, Hanukkah is Christmas. Kwanzaa is, who the hell knows what that is. And then everybody has to celebrate all of it. Everybody has to buy. That's all it's about. That really is now all the whole thing's about. Just getting you into the store to spend something on someone. Because if you don't, that store owner is going to have a miserable 11 more months, because this is this is when he makes his money. This is when the margins, what they come down to. I hate it more and more. I mean, sometimes I feel a little more tolerant. You know, people are cheerful, and they get in a nice spirit, and the streets are kind of nice with lights and the warm glow, because, let's face it, this time of the year, even though we had a surprisingly warm, albeit rainy day, this time of year does need something. That's why we have so many holidays this time of year. There's a reason Christmas and Hanukkah aren't in the middle of May. We don't need them there. No, we need stuff like that now. And what we need now is nice meals, conviviality, friendliness, family, stuff like that. What we don't need is every commercial, every Christmas song repeated 150 zillion times, and we don't need it to start 2 months before the holiday. So I've gotten on this jag before, but I haven't been so, so crabby about it as I am at this particular moment this year. This year I really, really feel the overwhelmingness of it, the just relentless crush of commerce, and hate it. And I'm so glad that we're only 48 hours away from what? From the after Christmas sales. When you go in and buy because they didn't sell quite as much as they thought they would. So now they've got to mark things down 30% more. That's why, you know, we were wandering through Barnes & Noble, the one attached to the Starbucks in Forest Hills yesterday, and we're thinking, well, we want to get calendars for people, because they're kind of cool. There's like a Jewish calendar with Jewish sayings, and dog calendars, because we love dogs and all that, and a tattoo calendar. And we're looking and we're thinking, oh, these calendars here are $12, $17 sometimes. And you know, like the week after Christmas, well, no, the week after New Year's, like January 3rd, these calendars are going to be $4.99. I mean, and after that, nobody's going to buy it. You'll get them on eBay for 85 cents, because who needs it? But, of course, the week before, with the holidays looming, blah, 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 blah. So I'm so glad we did not buy any calendars. We just bought a book, and that was it. And it was a fairly used-looking book at that, marked down. And I feel good about buying marked down, used kind of stuff this time of year. I want to spend as little as I possibly can, and not just because I'm broke, ladies and gentlemen, but because, just to show them, just to say, all right, yes, I know I need to buy gifts, and people sometimes buy gifts for me, thank you very much, and I blah, 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 all right, fine, but I want to get something, A, people will actually want and use, and B, I want to spend more, one halfpenny, to use an anglicization, if that, I don't even know if that's a word. Anglicize is it. Whatever. I want to spend one halfpenny more than I need to on gifts this time of year. I don't mind spending a little, you know, on Hanukkah, New Year's, or if you're going to visit family, you bring a gift. But, enough's enough already. Just really, really sick of it all. Anyway, on a lighter, it's amazing that I go on a 10-minute jag about Christmas. Christmas, holidays, glad tidings, good cheer, and by the time I get through with it, I'm like, well, on a lighter note. When there shouldn't really be a lighter note. Anyway, it's 10:43 p.m. on this Sunday night, December 23rd. I'm Dave Lefkowitz, if I haven't mentioned that before. I think I did. And I'm the host of this program, The Little Big Time, every Sunday night at 10:30 on WGBB Freeport. I'm also the host of the show that follows this program directly on this station. And that show is called Dave's Gone By. And it has aired on this radio station since October 2002. We have had more than 250 episodes of the show, as marked gratefully. Thank you very much. So that was the best gift of my holiday season. We got mentioned in the Daily News, thanks to TV and radio columnist David Hinckley. Gave us just a one-liner saying congratulations or whatever, not even congrats, just Dave Lefkowitz has passed the 250th episode on Dave's Gone By. Just that was a bigger gift, although actually we got a couple of nice gifts this year, thank you to my in-laws, so I'm like, okay, well, yeah, I got some good gifts too, but that felt really good. It felt personal in a way that some other things aren't necessarily. And so, the show that I continue to do at 11, called Dave's Gone By, is comedy and talk radio and interviews and music and more, a little different every week. For 80-something years, WGBB has been serving the community with music and talk and stuff. I can't see my radio dial anymore, but I know it's tuned to AM 1240 WGBB Freeport. Now leave me alone! It's 11 o'clock and time for Dave's Gone By. Wait, did I remember to pee? Uh-oh. Greetings from Long Island, where every highway is a sunrise. It's time for Dave's Gone By, an hour of comedy, talk, and music brought to you by Total Theater, with your host, Dave Lefkowitz. You've never heard anything like it, so sit back, relax, squeal if you must. Here's the host of Dave's Gone By, Dave!
Tropical hot dog night! Like two flamingos in a fruit fight! Every color of day, whirling around at night.
Well, there goes the day. Welcome, everybody. Welcome, welcome, everyone, on the Sunday night, December 23rd, 2007, for the 252nd episode of Dave's Gone By. We're calling this one Mr. Lefkowitz, I presume, because it's going to be Lefkowitz meets Lefkowitz. Lefkowitz versus Lefkowitz, if you will. There's going to be two of us. Now, I've had people on this program with my last name, but they've tended to be relatives. I've had my dad, Philip Lefkowitz. Actually, I don't know if I've ever had any other Lefkowitz. My wife has kept her maiden name, so she's not technically a Lefkowitz. And then my mom, well, she's never been on the show except very... Oh, maybe her voice has been on the show. But anyway, I've found a Lefkowitz who is not a relative and who has agreed to come on this program. And just shows you that other Lefkowitzes are as desperate and sick as I am. Ladies and gentlemen, joining us in a little while will be Josh Lefkowitz. He's an up-and-coming performance artist monologist. And what that means is he'll get on stage and talk about his life, but in a prepared, clever kind of a way. He'll cull the interesting facets of his life and the themes that are coursing through his existence and just share with people. And sometimes you can do that and it's really boring, or sometimes you do that and you turn into a Spalding Gray, who is kind of the master of this, where just these incidents all add up to a fascinating experience. And Josh has been getting some grants and getting some regional play with his monologues. And so I wanted to talk to him about that, and also just about the fact of what it's like going through life with a last name like Lefkowitz. So that is our special guest on tonight's episode of Dave's Gone By. I'm Dave Lefkowitz, by the way, your erstwhile journeyman host. I do want to say that, give a shout-out to Jeff Goodman. I thought Jeff would be back with us this week, both on The Little Big Time, the show that airs right before this program, and he's very often a guest co-host on Dave's Gone By. But Jeff is back from Thailand, but he's in California at the moment. He's doing one of these crazy airline jags that he so often does, where he's going to, like, from California, San Diego, to, like, Bahamas, to Florida, to back to San Jose, and then up to New York, to Islip. It's just, I don't even want to think about it. It makes my head burn. So he'll probably be back next week, if not certainly in the new year. But I'm happy to say that Jeff had a wonderful time in Thailand. He's back in the States, and he'll be back with us very soon. But I'm here on this December 23rd, and I'm here courtesy of some wonderful sponsors, including Hewlett Minuteman Press, the Copy Kings of Broadway, located at 1315 Broadway in Hewlett, New York. 516-569-5577 is their phone number, and Dave's Gone By listeners get 10% off at Hewlett Minuteman Press. We're also brought to you by Jeff Goodman's company, Fancy Schmancy Balloons, for all your party decorating needs. Their number, get a pen. I know you didn't have it for Minuteman. Now, if you have a pen, write this down. 516-797-3229. 797-3229 for centerpieces and balloons and everything that'll make your party look great. We're brought to you by MortgagesRock.com, which tells you how to get mortgages and other kinds of financing, not only for yourself, but if you learn how to do the paperwork for your friends and family and coworkers. MortgagesRock.com, that's the place to go. And Performing Arts Insider Theater Magazine, the Bible of Broadway for 65 years. Amazing. It's a journal that will tell you everything that's going on the stages of New York. Find out more at PerformingArtsInsider.com. And remember, until the end of the year, Dave's Gone By listeners get a really significant discount. Normally it's just 10%, but there's a big special till December 31st. I think they're giving you like $80 off an annual subscription of 21 issues. So check it out at PerformingArtsInsider.com. And as long as we're on things that I'm reminding you of, don't forget that Shalom Dammit, Rabbi Saul Solomon's Peace, Love, and Acid Reflux Hour, airs every Wednesday morning at 7:30. On Channel 20 of Woodbury Cable. But you can watch it anytime on YouTube. As a matter of fact, the special New Year episode, which was going to run this week but is pushed back a week on cable, will be running already on YouTube. You can see it now. All the madness, all the chaos, and all the beautiful rabbinical teachings of the Rebbe are on YouTube. Just go to Shalom Dammit and see Episode 8 of the show. Well, okay, let's see. I've told you about that, and I've told you the content of this show, which includes Josh Lefkowitz. We'll be going inside Broadway, and I'll be reviewing a couple of off-Broadway shows, including the William Finn review, Make Me a Song. And, one thing I did want to mention, and I wanted to say it early in the show rather than later. I was checking out, they did a server move over at TheaterPod.com. So that's a place that has 25 older episodes of this program that you can listen to anytime for free. You know, I mean, you can buy this show on CD once it's done, and it's like $11 and stuff. But if you want to hear some older episodes, no cost, any time of day or night, there's a website where you can go and listen. It was TheaterPod, but they've migrated the servers or whatever these iTech people do. And now it's at theateronline.com. The actual address is dgb.theateronline.com. If that's a little too much to remember or deal with, I have a link directly from my homepage, davesgoneby.org. In fact, there's a whole bunch of stuff at davesgoneby.org. That's the first place to go, and you can click everywhere from there anytime you want to. Anyway, what I want to do is play a quickie commercial and then get to my special guest of the evening, Mr. Lefkowitz, I presume. Did you know that I, Dave, am not just a fantastic radio personality, I'm also a playwright, and my book, Marriage, Babies, and the End of the World, is filled with the same humor I bring to Dave's Gone By every week. Funny, sad, true. Makes a great gift, Marriage, Babies, and the End of the World, only $20 hardcover, $12 trade paperback. To get your copy, call 516-295-1511 or email davesgoneby@aol.com. Welcome back to Dave's Gone By, and, you know, we all kind of want to feel unique and that we're special and the only ones just like ourselves in the world. So it can be kind of strange running into people sometimes who are very much like us or look like us or even have our names, our last names, who aren't obviously relatives and stuff, or who may be doing some of the same kinds of things that we do. And so I've got a bit of a surprise. Now, I know that I can Google and see my name, Dave or Dave Lefkowitz, David Lefkowitz, and find out that there's a cantor in a synagogue in New York who has my name, no relation, and that there's another David Lefkowitz who's either a producer or a bass player in a band. He does music stuff. And he's not me either. So, but if you Google my name, there they are. And I know that there was an attorney general named Louis Lefkowitz, who is no relation that I know of, and probably still the best-known Lefkowitz that there is. But there are others out there, and found one by accident when I got a press release about a performance artist, a monologist, kind of like a Spalding Gray Mike Daisy type, who's out there making a name for himself, doing some one-man shows. And his name is Josh Lefkowitz. And I just couldn't, it's not like my name is Joe Smith. It's not like my name is even, Terry Cohen. I mean, Lefkowitz, it's a name that you remember. You remember the TV sitcom Soap because of Elaine Lefkowitz. And I think they even used the name in one of the Larry David shows. So anyway, I'm Dave Lefkowitz. I've got on the phone Josh Lefkowitz, assumedly no relation. And I'm going to talk to him about who he is. Hello, Josh.
Hey, how's it going?
Good, I'm good. A little bit of a long intro there, but let's start off with what you do and what you're currently working on.
Sure, I'm both an actor and a writer, and maybe about 4 or 5 years ago, I combined the two interests in the form of a monologue, of an autobiographical monologue, and yes, the folks you grouped me with, I'd say that's a pretty accurate grouping, Spalding Gray and Mike Stacey. And I wrote these, wrote my first full-length autobiographical monologue. It was called Help Wanted, A Personal Search for Meaningful Employment at the Start of the 21st Century.
Good luck, and, yeah.
Yeah, it was pretty much exactly what it sounds like, and just sort of a narrative tale talking about the experiences of graduating with a Bachelor of Fine Arts degree and sort of finding one's way in the world. And then so was able to generate a little bit of... get heat is what they call it, or success or interest from that, and was recently commissioned by a theater down in Washington, D.C., a Woolly Mammoth Theater Company.
Oh, yeah. They're pretty well known.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I feel real lucky to have known them. They ended up presenting the first piece, Help Wanted, and it got some, got really favorable reviews, about which I was very happy.
I assume, concerned your work in the normal, in the non-creative, non-performing arts job market. So, including such things as?
Oh, parking attendant in Ann Arbor, Michigan, all the standard stereotypes, waiter, temp agency, mail clerk, executive secretary to the receptionist of the office department of the, user support data analyst, you name it, all that.
How do you get so many short-term jobs? Were they part-time to begin with, or did you just get fired after a couple of weeks?
Well, I wasn't the best employee. I think lurking in all of those experiences was always this need to, find a way to get back to the creative work. But I think it was also a combination of just hungry for experiences. I mean, there's one part in the show, and I quite literally say, I'm thinking to myself, what would Spalding do? And I'm thinking about Spalding Gray quite literally aloud in the show. I'm thinking about this, my last great hero, this artist who had turned the material of his life into this incredible work. And so I think at one point, the point in this story, the temp agency is calling up. They're saying, NASA's on the phone. NASA, I'm thinking, oh, my God, do you want me to launch a spaceship? Is that why they're calling? And they're like, not exactly. They want you to dress up in a spacesuit and take pictures with a bunch of little kids. And I'm thinking, no, I'm not going to do that. I got a Bachelor of Fine Arts degree at the University of Michigan. I don't do that. And then I think to myself, what would Spalding do? And I think, well, he probably would take the job just because it would be such a wacky experience to have. And then I end up doing that, and I think that sort of was my guiding impetus those first couple of years right out of school.
Well, first of all, it's a job's a job, and it puts money on the table. Well, money, food in the fridge, money on the table, or how, whatever the metaphor is there. And, as you said, it becomes fodder. Where would we be had David Sedaris not worked for Macy's for a couple of weeks?
Exactly. And come out great with this, example.
Yeah, the Santaland Diaries. I mean, that's where it all comes from. One of the blocks that I sometimes have as a writer is the fact that, you know, I sit there and write and I do my stuff and I do this radio show and I'm working on a TV thing that I'm directing locally and the stuff, and it's all feeds on itself. It's like this cycle, and there isn't that much outside of it to talk about or report on. I have to jump into the newspaper when I get on the radio because I haven't had so many life experiences during the week that I can tell people that were particularly interesting. I just thought I'd mention.
Yeah, I think that's totally accurate. And, yeah, it certainly, you know, makes for, the more wacky, wild, dramatic, high-low experiences there are. I mean, the material ends up being all the better for it. And that sort of actually ends up playing into what the new piece is about, the one that Woolly Mammoth commissioned. The title of it is called Now What? And I guess you could say it's sort of a sequel, though I think it ends up living okay on its own. There were quite a number of people that saw it. I just was doing it down there in D.C. this fall, and there were people that saw it that had not been exposed to Help Wanted, and I tried to do a nice little quick recap early on in the show just to catch everyone up to speed, but it's sort of about, okay, you've declared yourself as a autobiographical monologist, or among other things, and so now you will do this. You will end up writing about the events of your day, and so now the mantra that's kind of going in my head throughout the narrative of the piece is, maybe you should write about this, maybe you should write about this, and someone will say something or do something, and I'll think, maybe you should write about this, and it comes to a sort of a dramatic peak, a climax, if you will, about three-quarters of the way through the show, when my girlfriend and I are sort of going through a difficult period of issues of, you know, pretty standard to, I think, any long-term relationship and long-distance relationship at that. Mm-hmm. And even now the voice is really picking up its speed and momentum and volume as it says, maybe you should write about this, maybe you should write about this, and it comes to a head when, you know, the person whom I'm writing about, you know, just starts to wonder, you know, what's the cost of this work going to be?
You're not dating Renee Shafransky, are you?
I'm sorry, what?
You're not dating Renee Shafransky, are you?
No.
That's a great joke there. No, but so what is, like, one of the key comical, let's hopefully go for, anecdotes of Now What, the piece that you're working on now?
Sure. Well, I guess one of the lighter moments comes with, I mean, you know, the question of Now What extends not just to the, you know, the quality of the work, but also the quality of life. I mean, now I've been with this same girlfriend, her name is Annika, and she's a primary figure in all the things I end up writing and performing, and, you know, we've been together for a really long time, and one night we're just lying in bed in Brooklyn, and she says, you know, I just really want to let you know that sometimes you can be very selfish. I was sick all weekend, and I had a sore throat, and, you know, my nose was clogged up, and you didn't do anything to take care of me, and I just couldn't help but think, I mean, if this is what it's like when I'm sick, just like this, just sick on a regular basis, I mean, what would it be like if I were pregnant? That's what I want to know, because it feels like you wouldn't be there for me because you're not there for me now. And so then in my mind, and then aloud to the audience, I start thinking about, oh, God, oh, no, not the idea of these kids. I mean, here I want to be this artist, this great, you know, downtown, or in this case, Brooklyn avant-garde performing artist, and now I've got these imaginary kids sitting on my lap, and the kids are like, feed me, clothe me, take me to swimming lessons. And I'm like, quiet, Josh Jr., quiet, Joshina, I don't have time for you.
Joshina!
I'm an artist.
I'm like that Joshina, that's very
good.
How old are you, by the way?
Oh, right now I'm 26.
Oh, so until you're 29, you don't have to listen to any of that biological clock crap. I'm sorry.
Right.
I mean, I'm 43. I'm listening to it loud and clear. But you've got, you know, you got time, dude. I don't care how long you two have been together.
Yeah, it's just speculation. You know how it is. Every time the phone rings and a friend from back home says, I'm getting married or I'm having a baby, you just think, oh, my God.
Please. Oh, my. Yeah. I'm with you, man. I am so with you. Were you born in Michigan? Or where are you from?
Suburbs of Detroit, West Bloomfield, Michigan. I grew up there and went to school in Ann Arbor, the University of Michigan, and then lived in Washington, D.C. for a couple years, just sort of with this fluke incident of professor, you know, offered me an opportunity to audition for a play, and I was able to do it, and then moved subsequently up to New York and now live in Park Slope in Brooklyn.
Oh, very cool. Cool.
Which is also, you know, plays in now the idea of, like, all of these worries and woes about kids, and then you walk the streets of Park Slope, and everyone is trendy with their coffee mug in one hand and their baby stroller in the other, and babies everywhere.
And Tallis's too, I should imagine.
Hi, this is Josh Lefkowitz, the monologist, and you're listening to Days Gone By at WGBB. And if you're not listening, then how are you hearing this?
We're talking with Josh Lefkowitz, no relation as far as I know. That's also what I'm trying to get at here. Were you raised semi-religious, conservative, not even religious at all? And B, who are your parents? I'm curious.
Sure. My parents are Paul and Janice, and I'll go back one generation. Two more I can do, because I figured we would come to this, Dave.
We were talking about it.
My grandparents are Janet. Wait, no, that's my mother, Janet.
So nobody has grandparents named Janet. No Jews have grandparents named Janet back then.
The grandparents are Ruth and Julian, and Julian's father was Ben. Ben came over from Russia, I believe, unless I wasn't paying attention correctly.
Do you know what part of, was it like Russian Poland or where?
I don't even know. I should have looked into this, but I never did.
And then the other side, the other side of the family?
The other side is Blau, is the name, and the grandparents are Edward and Eddie and Florence. Eddie and Florence.
I'm not...
And beyond that, I can't do.
Okay. Okay, I'm not getting any kind of read on that. I mean, my parents are Brenda and Philip on the Lefkowitz side, going into, like, ever heard of the Rosemary clan?
No.
Ooh, no. Like, I guess who the heck knows? It could be fourth generation, fourth cousins, 10 times removed, and still be, like, from adjoining towns in Russia, and still not really know it, the way these things work out,
I still feel the kinship, for sure.
Well, cool. Well, yeah, but you know how it is when you have a name like this. You kind of
right.
think, Louis Lefkowitz, maybe. Do you know any other Josh Lefkowitzes? Have you ever heard your name before in full?
Well, a lot of times I have a Google alert set up, and so, you know, I'll get emails about it. And apparently there's a Josh Lefkowitz who is very good at tennis, or at least was on the collegiate level, NCAA. He often won a lot of championships, or maybe is still winning them. I don't know if he's still in school.
A true good in sports. Oh, my God. Okay.
I know. I caught that. Every time I get that, I'm like, no. That's
Couldn't
not
be.
This Josh Lefkowitz. And then there's another Josh Lefkowitz that I think he wrote some terror reports analysis for at least one time. It was the Village Voice, and I know this because my friend emailed me and said, how wonderful that you would write this. What a great contribution this is to the world at large, or something along those lines. And I had to unfortunately write her back and say, no, that's not me. I'm the Josh Lefkowitz that writes about himself, nothing but himself.
Yeah, that's like me, totally. Yeah, the hell with the world. That's, you know, it's about us. That's
right.
The main point. Sponsor me, Dave's Gone By, run your ad, folks will buy. If you want to reach the public, sponsor me. Advertise on this program for incredibly reasonable rates with long-term discounts. See prices at davesgoneby.org or call 516-295-1511. Sponsor me, if you're wise, on Dave's Gone By, you'll advertise. If you want to be successful, sponsor me.
Hi, this is Josh Lefkowitz, the writer and performer, and though I'm not related to Dave Lefkowitz, I wish I were. You're listening to Dave Gone By at WGBB.
I'm talking with Josh Lefkowitz, the performer monologist, the author and sole cast member of Help Wanted, a personal search for meaningful employment at the start of the 21st century, and his newest performance piece, Now What, which was recently done in Washington, D.C. When are you going to be doing it in New York?
That is a good question. I was able to do a couple readings downtown. Dixon Place is a space down in Righteous by Bowery, or on Bowery's in Houston, and that was nice. I'd like to do a longer run, but the question is, you know, always with New York, it's about timing and the right space at the right time, being able to make it so that the maximum amount of, you know, people can know about it and will be able to attend. There are people that work on this that are bigger and more knowledgeable about it than I am, so... all I know for now is it's going to Baltimore Center Stage.
Ooh.
There's a great theater there, and they've been big fans and very kind to me over the years, and really helped me with Help Wanted. They helped me get their dramaturgs and literary staff, helped me put the thing together, and always offering feedback and advice. And they presented Help Wanted last January, and now have just said, I mean, it was so cool. They heard about Woolly Mammoth down in D.C. commissioning the new piece, and they pretty much said, they were just like, you know, we're interested in this, and let's try to make it work, because we'd love to have you come back. And we were able to do it. So it'll be this January, the 2nd to the 20th in Baltimore. And it's a gorgeous theater, and I just, they're really kind to me there. And I eat like 3 crab cakes a week when I'm there. I just spend so much.
That's so not kosher, man. And then like God afterwards. I don't know. But you studied apparently with or under Eric Bogosian?
Yes, he's been a mentor for a couple of years now, a few years. Right out of school, I'd heard about this residency down in Florida. It was like one of those arts residencies. This one was the Atlantic Center for the Arts.
Uh-huh.
And they always have different master artists coming in. I think they do it 4 times a year, 3 different master artists each time, and a variety of mediums, and teaching 10 what they call associate artists, which are really people that they pick from a pool of applicants to come and, you know, work for 3 weeks in blissful Florida with these sunny walkways and palm trees overhead, and your food is prepared for you, and it's really quite a wonderful experience. So, Eric Bogosian was the master artist down there, one of the 3. It was in October of 2003, and I applied, and apparently everyone else ended up meeting with him and doing interviews in New York. I was still in Michigan at the time, had just finished up school, so I just sent in this crazy audition video. I just videotaped myself doing some ridiculous character that I had written, and it hit the spot for him. It was a wonderful experience, and he, you know, accepted me, and I went down and trained with him, and learned under him, got to work on a new play that he had been writing, and he sort of gave some feedback about the solo work and just about the life of an artist in general. I mean,
he was very helpful.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, cool. Well, what's something that specifically that he taught you?
Let's see. I mean,
is there anything you can put your finger on, like, or maybe just an overall sense that you got from him?
Well, the first thing that comes to mind when you ask me that question is, it wasn't even down at the residency, but it was just something recently. I went to this event that they were honoring him at PS122, you know, the same performance space downtown, and they did a whole fancy auction night, and he was sort of the centerpiece of that night. And I, you know, said hey to him, and congrats on, you know, Law and Order and CI and all that awesome stuff that he's all in the play on Broadway and off Broadway, and just, you know, he had such a great, lovely, I don't want to call it a renaissance, but he really did get, you know, all this great stuff started happening, picking up speed again. And I guess the secret there is to just keep making the work, and you come around, and it comes around, and it goes around. But anyway, the point is I went up to him, and at this point I was really struggling with the content of Now What, and I didn't know to what degree I should bear myself or put it all in the show. And so I sort of asked him about that, or just real quickly. I mean, everyone was crowding around trying to get to him, and I was like, hey, do you remember me? And he was like, yeah, of course. He was really kind. Yeah, of course I remember you. Yes, hello, Josh, how's it going? And I said, I'm really struggling with this piece. I'm working on the new solo, and how do I, you know, I'm not sure how much to put in. And he basically said, I'm paraphrasing, I don't remember, but he was like, just put it all in there, and we'll, you know, you can worry about the rest of it later, but put it all in there. And it was an awesome piece of advice, and I totally adhered. It was like exactly what I needed to hear at that one moment, and I totally adhered to the advice completely.
Well, the other thing I wanted to ask you as sort of a fellow writer and toiler in some level of creative endeavor is, how do you schedule your writing and work time, balancing it with your making money time and your all the stuff you have to do to live and get your name and your work out there?
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, I could ask the same for you. I don't know what the radio show ends up picking up in terms of time, or has it become, I don't know, but I guess everyone's sort of piecing together a puzzle is different. But for me, I have to do the writing in the morning, because otherwise it just looms like a rain cloud for the rest of the day.
Mm-hmm.
And I just can't. I don't like to work like that. So if I can get in 3 hours in the morning,
nice.
I'm pretty happy after that. And then for getting the word out, I mean, you know, I always get this piece of advice from my aunt. She's a painter out in Oakland, California, and she reserves all of that stuff for Sunday, but she's so in love with the process, and I feel like she's just a mature artist, more mature than I am, because I still feel a little young and a little antsy, and I really want to, like, you know, make sure that people know about things and, you know, get the business side crackling and make sure that things are happening and always more opportunities, more chance for, you know, work to get presented and fame and awards and stardom and I own the country, that sort of thing. And I get, it's dangerous. I mean, I get too swept up in that and all of a sudden I forget about what's really important, which is, of course, not the product at the end, but the process of making the work. And I'm trying to work on that, but I don't know. I spend a lot of the afternoon on the email, doing that whole thing, Facebook, MySpace, going on YouTube, all the wasting all that time. And
well, do you have an agent at this point?
Yes, my literary agent and an acting agent, pretty much as well. I'm lucky. I feel, you know, fortunate to have those people working for me.
So, as an actor, you've appeared in other people's stuff as well.
Mm-hmm. That was what my training was in. I guess my Bachelor of Arts degree is in acting, but then I took a lot of writing courses as well. But that's how, for the first couple of years out of school, I was pretty much, acting traditionally in plays and whatnot. And then the writing started to pick up. And even still, if it was up to me, I would do at least one project a year that would be just, you know, straight up acting. I think it's healthy, to be honest, because when I get too lost in the solo world, first of all, it's terribly lonely because there's no cast members to hang out with. And I don't even, you know, work with a director currently, so it's really just me doing the thing, and it's a lot more fun when there's other people. Mm-hmm. You know, they say theater is collaborative, and when I get lost in the solo world, I think, what are you doing? Wouldn't this be so much more fun to have other people to hang out with? But then, of course, I think it helps the process, because then you walk out on stage, and you're just so desirous to connect to the audience, and it fuels the performance and the ability of just, like, the artist to say, I need you to listen to what I'm telling you because I'm so very lonely backstage.
Hey, do you, are you like Spalding Gray in that you have the notebook and the script in front of you, or do you memorize and or kind of have cues and that's it?
With the first one, I had the pages actually on stage, and I would turn the pages as I went through the piece, glancing at them from time to time. And it was more of an homage piece to Spalding because, as I think I've already mentioned, I mean, he was a big of the piece. I mean, my adoration for him, and I was able to meet him just a few weeks before,
you met him after the accident and stuff, and you...
Just right in December of, December of 2003, if I'm getting my dates right, or maybe December, I think December 2003, and then in January 2004 was, I think, when he,
Was he out of it? Was he cordial?
Yeah.
I
talk about it a lot in the show in Help Wanted, but it was really, you know, on the one hand, there was no way he could live up to my expectation of him because nobody would be able to live up to the, you know, this is also, the piece is so much about hero worship, and there's just no way anyone could ever, you know, live up to how we think this person, this godlike, you know, artist or athlete or movie star or whoever it is we look up to would be able to live up to those expectations. But even more so, I think in the case of Spalding Gray, I think he was really, you know, getting worse and worse all the time as, you know, spring turned to summer and fall that year. And so I think, it was a sad moment, definitely.
But when you met him, it was sad, but it wasn't terrible. I mean, he wasn't completely, well, no, what was it like meeting him?
Very brief.
Uh-huh.
I saw him do a reading of Life Interrupted, which was his last show that he was working on, and, it was in late fall into winter of that year, and it was at PS 122, and I was so excited to be there and, you know, finally get to see him perform, and the performance was certainly not what I had hoped it would be, but again, I'm not sure that it could have been even had it been flawless, but it was not, and I just was waiting at the stage door. I was so nervous, just so excited to tell this guy how inspired I had been and motivated to make work just like him. And I mean, I'm sure I was one of hundreds and hundreds over the years to, you know, want to convey this to, you know, a visionary artist like that. And I just was, you know, waited at the stage door and he came out and I was just like, I'm Josh Lefkowitz and you are my last great hero.
And
he said, you know, thanks. And then shut the door and that was it. And so
and didn't save his life, unfortunately. He didn't look at you like in a Hallmark commercial or something and go, oh, I have reason to go on now. You know, I thought I was doing this for nothing, and I thought everything was going bad, and I just want to drown myself. But, you know, this young fella, he was inspired by me, and now he's making art. I'm it's like, I just saw the end of It's a Wonderful Life, you know, and
yeah,
it didn't happen that way. But it's been a wonderful chat and conversation with Josh Lefkowitz, the monologist and performer. How do we keep in? You say you have a MySpace page and a web page. How do people keep in touch or find out where you're playing and what you're doing?
Yeah, a lot of stuff on MySpace. I don't know why I haven't set up a website yet. I mean, I've even had friends like that are like, I'll design it for you. But I don't know what it is. Maybe I'm still a little fearful of tattooing the World Wide Web with a slice of me, but I should get over that fear. But for now, MySpace is a good way. Facebook, all of those internet sites that I, you know, grudgingly end up spending hours and hours on time. That's
so
the best way to get a hold.
Should they Google your name and that's how they'll get, or do you have a URL or what?
I think it's just MySpace.com, then the / Josh Lefkowitz.
Probably a forward slash rather than a /
Right, yeah. I'm glad you're here to
exactly.
Even know that.
That's about as technical as I can get, but yeah, it's probably a forward thingy. Thingy being the operative term. And so, yeah, I want to thank Josh Lefkowitz. No relation, but certainly, you are now family because you're in the neighborhood. Now that you've been on the show, now you are technically part of the extended family of Dave's Gone By and the neighborhood. So I want to thank Josh Lefkowitz so much for sharing with us and keeping us posted. And do me a favor, let me know, obviously, when you're back and when you're going to be doing Now What in New York. And we'll talk some more. I would love that.
Cool. Yeah, thanks, Dave. I'll definitely do that. Thank you so much.
These are the Daves, my friend, the perfect radio blend of comedy, talk, radio, and more. Yes, these are the Daves. More than 185 episodes of Dave's Gone By for your listening pleasure. Long drive home? Pop in a Dave. In the mood for a funny sketch? Pop in a Dave. All CDs come in jewel cases with full packaging, just $11. New low price, same free shipping and handling. Add a dollar, and I'll autograph the cover. Don't know which episode? Visit davesgoneby.org or email davesgoneby@aol.com and ask for the CD list. These are the Daves, my friend. Makes a great gift to send. Give them a try if you love Dave's Gone By. If you're like me, you agree that television could always be a little more Jewish. Well, our prayers are answered. Every Wednesday morning, 7:30, on Cablevision Channel 20, Rabbi Sal Solomon, that's me, hosts Shalom Dammit. I do Bible studies, sermons, pelvic exercises, whatever I damn well want. See the episodes on YouTube.com, but also 7:30 Wednesday mornings on Cablevision Channel 20. It's Jewish and it's proud. On the first day of Christmas, my true love gave to me nothing. On the second day of Christmas, my true love gave to me nothing again. And nothing on the first day because I'm Jewish. On the third day of Christmas, my true love gave to me one more time. Nothing. Nothing on the second day. Nothing. Goodness on the first day. I told you I'm Jewish. On the fourth day of Christmas, my true love gave to me not a damn thing. Nothing on the third day, nothing on the second, nothing at all. Damn it to hell. On the fifth day of Christmas, my true love gave to me, why was I born? I don't get any presents. Nothing on the fourth day, bupkis on the third, shice the second, nothing, Lord McLean. On the sixth day of Christmas, my true love gave to me, I don't have a true love, I've been married 36 years, and I've given her 5 golden rings, helps me a toit McBunkus, she still wants more jewelry. Foreskin, I don't have, Trinity, I don't need, Tu Bishvat is boring, 1 mother-in-law I got, you want her, huh? On the seventh day of Christmas, my true love gave to me, What have I been saying? Haven't you been listening? I've been getting nothing. Why should I get anything? Can't you tell I'm Jewish? What are you retarded? Oh, how I hate the holidays. On the 8th day of Christmas, my true love gave to me. Listen, if I didn't get anything on the first 7 days, why the hell would I get something on the 8th? Please use your brains. Do I look like Santa? Yes, I have a beard. No, I don't have reindeer. I've never seen a reindeer. Although, apparently they're kosher. But I still didn't get anything on the first day. On the 9th day of Christmas, my true love gave to me. Now, wait, hold on, what was it? I'm thinking it was, oh yeah. Nothing! God, I hate this music. Everywhere you go, every radio station, even in the toilets, it belongs in the toilets. It's not like on Hanukkah, we make you listen to the dreidel song in the mall. Whatever happened to separation of church and state? And why does my prostate hurt? Can someone tell me that? Eh? Why does my prostate hurt so much? On the 10th day of Christmas, my true love gave to me an Uzi so I could shoot myself. So they can bury me in Mount Shoalim Cemetery in Farmingdale, so maybe I'll have a little peace for once. Only the Goyim will show up, and instead of leaving rocks and flowers on my grave, they'll decorate my tombstone with ornaments and lights. Even in death, they torture me! But you know what? It would be worth it. Because I'd be dead, and I wouldn't have to wait online for an hour at Kmart to buy a pair of socks, and I wouldn't have to watch uplifting Christmas movies with Tiffany Amber Thiessen in them, and I wouldn't have to hear the phrase stocking stuffer ever again! On the 11th day of Christmas, my true love gave to me one blood libel. That's a bit. I'm just kidding. Look, it could be worse. Jews have it pretty good in this country. We can worship, we can vote, we can buy retail, we can celebrate Hanukkah as if it were Christmas, just to make our children really confused. We can live where we want. Well, maybe not certain sections of Scarsdale. But we can eat in kosher restaurants. We can run for president. We can control the media. Or at least that's what they say. Except, if we really do control the media, why the hell are there so many uplifting Christmas movies with Tiffany Amber Thiessen in them? On the 12th day of Christmas, my true love gave to me high blood pressure, low blood sugar, 10 oppressive commandments, 9 days of fasting, 8 days of Hanukkah, 7 days of Shiva, 6 days of work. Why was I born? 4 Seder questions, 3 things sustain us, 2 sets of dishes, and a cartridge in my Uzi. Merry Christmas, Goyim. Happy New Year, Jews. Season's greetings, everyone. Peace on earth, and goodwill for your sofa.
Inside Broadway, brought to you by Total Theater's Performing Arts Insider, your everything theater guide.
Well, a very special thank you there to Rabbi Saul Solomon with his 12 Days of Nothing song. If you have any desire to hear that song ever again, remember that's part of his show on YouTube, the 8th episode of Shalom Dammit. It's all on YouTube now. Just do a little search under Shalom Dammit, and that's the 12 Days of Nothing. But we have so many things to actually cover and do on this edition of Inside Broadway on Dave's Gone By. First of all, Broadway news. Last week there was nothing going on. Grinished. And I figured it'd be the same all the way through the rest of the year. But boy, was I wrong. Because Gypsy is coming. Gypsy is coming. Gypsy is coming. Ladies and gentlemen, people have been waiting for this since the summer when at Encores, that's the series that they have at City Center, where they do these musicals, and they do them with very bare costumes, almost no staging. It's almost like a sung concert, but they really concentrate on the music and just getting the show out there without any trappings. And out of Encores sprang, of course, Chicago, the great revival of that Candor and Ebb show. Well, Encores did a staging, a kind of a special staging with more stuff than usual, more costumes, more sets, more staging, direction than usual, of Stephen Sondheim and Julie Stein's Gypsy, which is considered one of the great American musicals. It really is. And they got the guy who also worked on it way, way back then, Arthur Lawrence. He's directing, and he did it out in New Jersey, and then he brought it to Encores, and now it's going to finally come, because they raved about it. People loved it when it played for a couple of weeks over the summer. Patti LuPone is playing Mama Rose. She's stepping into the shoes of people like Ethel Merman and Bernadette Peters, and then there was the Tyne Daly from a couple of years ago, and Angela Lansbury, and on TV was Bette Midler, I think, covered the role. I mean, it's one of the biggest, juiciest roles for women of a certain age in the American theater. And now they got Patti LuPone, who's almost, yeah, I guess she's of the right age now, and apparently she sings the hell out of it, and if you saw her in Sweeney Todd or any other time on Broadway, in Evita, she's going to be something to see. Laura Benanti is playing Louise. She's the young girl who breaks out of her shell and discovers that what she wants to be is not a vaudeville performer, but Gypsy Rose Lee the stripper. And apparently she's always marvelous and adorable. So Laura Benanti, Patti LuPone, and Boyd Gaines, who is ubiquitous. He does like 3 Broadway shows a season now. In fact, he's just finishing up Pygmalion. I think that's still running. He plays Pickering in the revival that I gave a rave to last week with Jefferson Mays and Claire Danes. And Boyd Gaines was also in Journey's End just last season, that marvelous revival of an old English war play. Well, now, Boyd Gaines is going to play Herbie. And he can probably sing a little better than Jack Klugman, who was the original Herbie, if everybody remembers their Gypsy Cast albums. But anyway, I'm just excited about this. It's coming to the St. James Theater in April, this coming April, Gypsy. So that's the big Broadway news. But there's a little bit more. There's a show that's eyeing Broadway for the spring of this coming year. It's a Tennessee Williams play, or at least part of a Tennessee Williams play that was never finished. So they found someone to do the rest of it. The guy's name is Gore Vidal. They actually found that Gore Vidal interested enough to complete the play and flesh it out. And it's called Masks Outrageous and something else. Unfortunately, I lost the piece of paper with the full title on it. It's a typically interesting Tennessee Williams-y kind of a title. And the New York Post says that it's finished and it's ready and that Broadway will see it in 2008. Also, coming, well, not to Broadway, but from Broadway on Inside Broadway, remember Tommy Toon? Remember the quite amazing career he had for a while as an actor and then as a director-choreographer. He choreographed Grand Hotel, which was pretty spectacular. He was in My One and Only. I mean, it was this big 7.5-foot Texas guy with charm, and he could dance, and he just seemed to have it all. And then kind of didn't really do much for a while. He broke his leg. Remember last week also, we were talking about Busker Alley, which was kind of the show that broke his career in a certain manner of speaking, broke in a bad way, because he was going to star in it, but he hurt his foot, and then nothing came of it, until suddenly, after 10 years, they're reviving Busker Alley, Jim Dale's going to be in it, and they're going to try and bring that to Broadway. Well, Tommy Toon has crawled out from under the shadows himself. No, he's not coming back to Broadway stages, but he does have a website of his artwork. He's been painting and drawing, ladies and gentlemen. His lithographs are on sale at TommyToonGallery.com. And, I wouldn't shill for something like this, but some of them are kind of cute. He does butterflies, pretty innocuous thing, tall dancers with top hats. And what I should say, for anybody who's remotely interested, the first batch of lithographs are $20 each. And he even says on the website, yeah, I know that sounds cheap. I know it sounds, well, it's probably garbagey if that's what he's charging for them. But he says, no, he feels art should be affordable, and he wants to get the name out there and give things a head start, and yes, they'll be personalized. He'll autograph them. He'll do whatever you want for them for like $20 for a litho. That's, you know, I assume it's plus shipping because it probably costs $12 just to ship the damn thing. But go to TommyToonGallery.com if you're interested. Here's Tommy's quote. At last, welcome to TommyToonGallery.com, which has been in the planning for many years, even before the internet was invented. Of course, back then, I imagined it real, not virtual, but basically, the dream is the same. Just add a .com, and presto, you're invited! Boy, is he gay. But anyway, if you're interested in seeing his versions of butterflies and bananas, squash, a seahorse, a toucan, and the classic theatrical masks, TommyToonGallery.com. And you know what? For $20, I'm sure that people paid more than that for one of his playbills of some of his old shows, so if they're autographed, maybe it's worth a look. Anyway, continuing inside Broadway, let's go off Broadway for a couple of shows that I've seen and want to review for you and let you know about them because they're either closing real soon or fairly soon. First one is Make Me a Song. It's a review, R-E-V-U-E, of songs by William Finn. And people know him mostly for two shows that he's done. Falsettos, which remains his masterpiece. It was a cobbling of three short musicals that he did off-Broadway. March of the Falsettos, In Trousers, and Falsetto Land. He put that all into one big musical. And then his most recent big hit was the 25th annual Putnam County Spelling Bee, which is running on Broadway until early January. Well, he hasn't had that huge a career. I mean, two big hits and one or two other small musicals and then some songs he wrote here and there. But they felt that it was enough to cobble some of his work together and create a little review. But I think the big mistake that they made, they make two mistakes. One is not doing it in a cabaret-style venue. They put it in New World Stages, which is a theater on West 50th Street. Very nice theater, but it's meant for plays. And it's kind of weird to sort of, it feels very high school auditorium-ish when you're watching a low-budget-looking, low-grade musical like this. And especially also, the night I went, the audience was less than half full. So when you're in a theater like that, you kind of get a feeling. And as a matter of fact, 2 days after I saw the show, they announced that it's going to close in a couple of weeks. So there you go. Is it bad? No, not at all. I mean, William Finn is a very interesting and very entertaining songwriter, often very tuneful as well. And there are some marvelous songs that you probably haven't heard before that are in there. And also, there are they do a whole suite of songs that are out of Falsettos, his great masterwork. So if you never got to see Falsettos, well, it's a way of hearing some of those songs and some of the great brilliance of that show. However, I really got into it because I love Falsettos, and I kind of wonder that if I didn't, would I really be so cognizant of the score and know the show as well and be so moved by the 15-minute excerpts that they were showing. So I kind of felt, you know, A, it was great to hear those songs again, but it just made me want to see a full production of Falsettos. Anyway, we're going to review one more show. And I will say that Make Me a Song, it's okay. It's enjoyable, and it does build as the show goes on. But also, there's very few costumes. There isn't much in the way of a set. There's some light bulbs hanging and a curtain, and then someone pushes out a big red heart for those Falsetto song, but I think they could have put a little more into the visuals on this one. So it's kind of an okay entertainment, wrong venue, and if they plugged in a little bit more to look at, I think it would have went a lot better. I'm also going to review The Piano Teacher, a kind of a chilling drama playing off-Broadway, but first, let's hear about our friends at Performing Arts Insider Theater Magazine. There is a season, turn, 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 turn the pages of Performing Arts Insider Theater Magazine, because this is the season for Broadway. All the big shows are opening in the next few weeks. Learn about them all. For 64 years, Performing Arts Insider has been the Bible of Broadway. Find out why by going to PerformingArtsInsider.com. Subscriptions are 10% off for Dave's Gone By listeners. So turn, turn, turn to Performing Arts Insider for every show. show Under Heaven. Yes, indeed, Performing Arts Insider, the Bible of Broadway for, I said earlier, more than 64 years. It's 65 now that the new year is coming. The 65th volume of Performing Arts Insider is already out there. So, yay! Anyway, got one more show to review on Inside Broadway. It's called The Piano Teacher, and it's playing at the Vineyard Theater, but it's closing, I think, in one more week, so you only have a little more opportunity to catch it. And I would, not strongly, but mildly recommend it. The play is about this old piano teacher. She's retired, and she's looking back on her life. And she had this nice little life, kind of suburban existence, where she would give piano lessons to all the children in the neighborhood. And we think, oh, what a sweet old lady. And she loves cookies, so she hides cookies all over her little apartment, and she actually hands out cookies to the first row in the audience. So if you're buying tickets to the show, that's a place to sit. And anyway, she also tries to contact a couple of her old students just to see how they're doing. And on some level, that's kind of neat, and she makes contact with some of the kids that she really liked and stuff. And then she also makes contact with a more scary kid, a kid who was affected not so much by her, but by her husband, who got out of a country where he saw all sorts of horrors and tortures and deaths and political upheavals and unbelievable misery. And what she learns over the course of, well, what she finally accepts and what we learn over the course of the play was that her husband never touched the kids, he never molested them, he never did anything like that. What he did was a little more subtle, but also quite chilling. He basically killed their innocence by letting them know very graphically what he experienced in this country, the tortures that he saw and underwent. And so it's kind of this dawning on her of what she allowed to happen in the kitchen while she was giving piano lessons. So, interesting play. There's a lot of things that don't quite add up in it, and some stuff that's thrown in and you're not sure why. She has a stutter and certain elements of it, and even the whole cookie thing almost seems a little beside the point. And the other problem is there are things that are vague that shouldn't be. It's like we hear that her husband comes from this terrible country, but we don't know if it's Latin American, and then there's a hint that he might have been black and had a mixed-race relationship. But so many aspects that could have been specific and powerful are left vague because it's like this vague political play. And I think it could have worked better had she just made some more definite choices in the piece. But Elizabeth Franz is very good, very personable to watch in the lead role. And it is chilling, and it's kind of a good play. And, again, mild recommendation for The Piano Teacher at the Vineyard Theater on East 15th Street from Inside Broadway as we head towards Dave Goes Out. But don't go away. Got a minute or two more for you. We've just been Inside Broadway, thanks to TogleTheater.com and Performing Arts Insider. What's black and white and red all over? Photocopies made at Hewlett Minuteman Press, the copy kings of Broadway. Any job that you have, including black and white copies, and they've got a brand new color copier, great quality, good prices, wonderful family that has owned Hewlett Minuteman Press since the 1970s. So check them out, 516-569-5577, Hewlett Minuteman Press. They're the kings. They are the kings indeed. Hewlett Minuteman Press, 10% off for all Dave's Gone By listeners. And Performing Arts Insider, the Bible of Broadway, as I've said. And remember, until the end of the year, Dave's Gone By listeners get this huge discount. It's like $80 off for an annual subscription. Go to PerformingArtsInsider.com to find out more. MortgagesRock.com, MortgagesRock.com, MortgagesRock.com. I won't say any more. Just visit them, MortgagesRock.com. And Fancy Schmancy Balloons for all your party decorating needs, 516-797-3229. Now, if you want to talk about anything that you heard on this program, if you liked Josh Lefkowitz or have any comments on the Broadway stuff, why don't you email me, davesgoneby@aol.com, davesgoneby@aol.com, and of course, check out my website, davesgoneby.org. I want to just let everybody know, a couple of quick notes that Cary Hoffman, the fellow who's doing My Sinatra, he's doing that on December 29th, Saturday, 7:30 p.m. at the Cutting Room on West 24th Street. He's doing My Sinatra, 212-691-1900. Four tickets, 691-1900 to see. It's one night only at the Cutting Room, December 29th, 7:30 for My Sinatra. Okay, reminding you that Dave's Gone By on TV airs Friday morning, 7:30 on Woodbury Cable Channel 20. You want to watch for me and Jeff and Charlie Gross on YouTube doing Two on the Aisle. I was just on a new episode while Jeff was out of town, and Charlie and I reviewed a bunch of theater shows. So that's going up on YouTube either today or tomorrow. So check it out, YouTube for Two on the Aisle. As I said, also go to my website, davesgoneby.org, for the new home of those 25 free episodes of the show from years past. davesgoneby.org gives you a link to theateronline.com. And don't forget to listen to Filler Up, 5:30 p.m. Saturdays on WGBB. It's a half hour of music chosen and hosted by me. Saturdays, 5:30 on WGBB. Well, I want to thank so much Josh Lefkowitz for appearing on this episode of Dave's Gone By, and a big thank you to Joyce Weil, my beloved and wonderful and adorable wife, who does such good improvs. Who knew? Anyway, in the upcoming weeks, we're going to try again with Issa, who did apologize for not being able to be here last week. She was supposed to call in and didn't get to it because she was still doing a show and blah, blah, blah. And anyway, apologies were made. We're going to try getting it going in a week or two with Issa. Also have a couple of other interesting guests lined up for you. But now, unfortunately, it's 12:02 and we've got to go. So we will be back next Sunday, Erev, New Year's Eve, December 30th, 2007, with the 253rd episode of Dave's Gone By. Until then, don't miss your days going by. This is Dave Lefkowitz wishing you a good night, a happy and safe Christmas to our Christian listeners, a warm and fuzzy winter to everyone else, good times, and gone by. Pubic hair, oh, pubic hair, you are so strong and curly. My crotch looks like an aerial view of actress Joel and Worley. Pubic hair, oh, pubic hair, you are so soft and bushy. You start below my navel hole and run down to my tushy. Pubic hair, oh, pubic hair, you're never moist or grungy. The special cream I smear on you keeps you firm and spongy. Pubic hair, oh, pubic hair, each one is an adventure. Each night I use a pubic hair to floss my grandpa's dentures. Pubic hair, oh, pubic hair, you are so tough and wiry. I like to pull out pubic hairs and press them in my diary. Pubic hair, oh, pubic hair, you're bushy like a schnauzer tail. I'm glad you grew so close to me around my one-eyed trouser whale. Pubic hair, oh, pubic hair, you're such a strange enigma. If I don't wash you once a week, you'll turn all gray with smegma. Pubic hair, oh, pubic hair, protector of my boner. Pubic hair, oh, pubic hair, I'm proud to be your owner.